As Roger has already stated, we certainly do appreciate you being here today. Those that are visiting, we welcome some of you back and been with us before, and we appreciate that so much. And thank you for coming and spending time with us and encouraging us, and thankful too for the fact that you chose to be with people who are doing their best to follow God. And I believe that we need to certainly always look into God's Word and make sure that the things we're doing are according to His will. When we talk about God's will, it's certainly very important, should be very important in our lives, because one day we'll be judged by it. And today we're going to actually talk about God's Word and why it's very important to us. And there is a need for knowledge. And it's been that way since the beginning of time. Certainly Adam and Eve needed to have some knowledge. They received some things from God, chose not to follow the things that God had told them, and as a result were punished for what they had done. But in Hosea 4, when talking to the Israelites, one of the things that Hosea says to them in verse 1 is, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land." That should strike fear in anyone's heart, to think of God bringing a charge against anyone. We don't want to be guilty of this. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. Now, that's a sad commentary on a group of people that God had chosen to be His people. When we look at this and we think about it, though, today, God, certainly through His Son, has chosen those that would be obedient to Him to be His people. We don't want this said about us, because in verse 6, "My people are destroyed," He said, "for lack of knowledge, because you've rejected knowledge. I also reject you from being priests for me, because you have forgotten the law of your God. I also will forget your children." Now, what's sad is that in this country, now certainly we're talking here spiritual knowledge, but in this country, it is decreasingly, I guess, the ability for people to learn and know things has decreased tremendously. We have all of these methods and ways of learning things and doing things, and yet, on the other hand, unfortunately, the ability to grasp that and use it in our lives is getting worse with those that are coming up in our schools and are doing other things, and it's really very sad. When we really think about it, though, ignorance of the Bible, it is going to destroy any group of people. It's becoming more common, and it's becoming more common, I mean, even among those who now call themselves Christians. I don't believe that all call themselves Christians are Christians, but those that do. It's amazing sometimes to hear, just like we discussed in the class this morning, about some of the arguments that they would make. Very seemingly religious people had no idea what the law taught and didn't teach it properly, and they were supposed to be the smartest and the brightest. So sometimes when we listen to those who claim to be religious, and you're discussing something with them, they don't even bother with giving you where it is found in God's Word or anything. They give you their think-so, and people go, "Oh, isn't that wonderful?" Several polls have been conducted to find out how much people know about the Bible, including, again, those that claim to be Christians and those that do not. This particular group does this and has been doing it for many, many years. I think it's been doing it since 1980s, I believe. Most of this was done in 2009. Now, they've done some more recent ones, but I use this one because it's more relating to what we're talking about. Among those who claim to be Christians, 22% thought that the Book of Thomas was in the Bible. 13% said they didn't know. And 65% said it was not. 27 said the Book of Jonah was not a book. It's not in there. 61% said it was, and 12% had no idea. Now, this is just those that claim to be religious or those that claim to be Christians. 70% knew that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And I was thinking, you would think that would be 100%. I mean, with all of the things around this, but not so. 16% said they thought he was born in Jerusalem. 8% said Nazareth. And 6% said they didn't have any idea where he was born. I do smile at that, but it's really, maybe I shouldn't. Do you know that only 38% of those who claim to be Christians knew that the phrase "God helps those who help themselves" is not in the Bible? And don't start looking. It's not in there. I'll just tell you right now. But You'd be amazed how many people think some of these little sayings, you know, are in the Bible. And I didn't just use this one. There's actually several others that people think, well, I know that's in there. I know it is. Where? Well, I know it's there. 42% said it was in the Bible. 20% had no idea. And 82% of all surveyed believed it was in the Bible. That's of all, just people. They just surveyed people, not those that claim to be Christians. Among all surveyed in the USA, 12% believe that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. And you know, that does seem funny. And I thought, well, maybe people are just putting on, but, well, I mean, doesn't it fit? I mean, the Ark, and they know about the Ark, so it seems logical. 50% of graduating seniors thought that Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. Concerning the Bible, if they were asked, did they believe it was sacred? How many truly, I mean, with all their heart, believe that? In the ages of 18 to 25, 67% said they thought it was. 26 to 44, 81%. 45 to 63, 89%. And 64 plus, 90% of all the people that were surveyed believed it was a sacred book. But now, when they were asked, is it accurate though? Now, it could be sacred, but is it accurate? Do you strongly agree that the Bible is accurate? 18 to 25, only 30% said they thought it was accurate. In the 26 to 44 group, 39%. 45 to 63, 46%. And the 64 plus, only 58% thought that the Bible was accurate, strongly believed that. As far as reading it, though, not so much. Even though they might have thought it was accurate, in the 18 to 25 group, only 29% of them said that they would take the time once a day to either read for 15 minutes or pray for 15 minutes. That was a question was asked. 26 to 44, only 32%. 45 to 63, 43%. And 64 plus, 53%. In a Gallup poll, among those who claim to be Christians, only 3 out of 5 could name the first 4 books of the New Testament. They had no idea. Now, agreed, the way it's written, put in there today. I mean, chronologically, we all know, we've studied that. But the way we have our Bibles that are common, only 50% knew that Jesus delivered the Sermon on the Mount. And what's going to bother you about this, there was a great percentage of them thought that Billy Graham did. Now, you think that's not true, look it up. Thought that Billy Graham delivered the Sermon on the Mount. 42% that said that without government, there would be no real guidelines to follow. Many could only name 2 or 3 of the apostles. What's the problem? Well, one of them is ignorance. It's just flat-out ignorance. It's. We could say, well, is it meant to be that way? I mean, come on, you surely don't think that. My dad, when he was in the Army, he said that one of his drill sergeants said, your ignorance is astounding, when talking to them about how little they knew. And I've thought about that a lot in thinking about the Bible. In Acts 17:30, Paul, in teaching them in Athens, said God truly did wink at ignorance then, but now He commands all men everywhere to repent. If you repent, then it means you have to have an understanding of how you need to turn. Ignorance won't cut it anymore. Not only do you have to have that knowledge, but you have to do what it says. You have to go with the way that it says you need to go. Now, it was a problem in the Old Testament times. I just read from Hosea, but Hosea wasn't the only one that wrote about this. In Isaiah 28, they struggled mightily to know what they needed to do. In 9 through 13, he would say to them, whom will he teach knowledge? He's been talking about them, and I always encourage you to read the context around this. He's been talking about those priests and how disgusting they were and how they had exchanged learning God's will for drinking alcohol, and they were vomiting in places they should have been keeping clean for God. So now he says, whom will he teach knowledge and whom will he make to understand the message? Now this is their comments, okay, about God. This is the way you're treating us, God. Those just weaned from milk, those just drawn from the breast, well, you're treating us like we're babies. You remember what Paul told them in Corinth? Well, I'm having to treat you like babies because you are. You're no better than a newborn child. You've made no attempt to learn anything about God's will. They said, why, you're saying precept upon precept. precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Well, you're just treating us like we're just like little children. Yeah, that's exactly the way God treats us, like we're little children, because we are little children in His sight. We need to be precept upon precept, line upon line, treated sometimes like that we've never heard this before. But He says, I'll take care of this for you. You don't want to listen to me. I'm talking to you very simply. I'm pointing it out easily so a baby could understand it. Okay? But here's what's going to happen to you. For with a stammering lip and another tongue, He will speak to this people. He said, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. First of all, the Assyrians are going to come into the north. You're not going to understand their language. Listen to them. See if you can gain some knowledge there. Okay? And then later on, the Babylonians are going to come into the southern tribe, and they're going to take you into captivity. And you're all going to be in captivity. You're not going to know their language unless you learn it. Okay? Is that what you want? That's what's going to happen to you, He said. You want to stay in your ignorance, or you want to learn? To whom, He said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is a refreshing that they would not hear. Is that really what you want? But the word of the Lord was to them precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little, there a little. They might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and caught. People go, what? You want me to pick up that book? Why, that just doesn't let me do what I want to do. I don't want to know about that. I want to live my life the way I want it. You're treating me like I'm a little child, like I don't know the difference in what's right and wrong. No, you don't. And I don't either, separate and apart from God's will. It was a problem in Paul's time. Some 700 plus years later, you got Paul writing in Ephesus, almost 800 years later. You got Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, and he says in Ephesians 4, we got a major problem. He said, you know, when you actually go back and you look at how the Gentiles had lived, you don't want to be like them. Now, he's talking about not all Gentiles, but Gentiles in general, how they had lived their life. And he says that basically they're going to be in some trouble. This I say, therefore, and testify to the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Don't be ignorant of God's will, just thinking you know what to do. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Because of the hardening of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to licentiousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. I want to go ahead and use that. He said it's a futile way to walk. You just don't have any idea where you're going. You're just aimlessly walking around. It causes, if you want to be ignorant, it just causes your understanding to be darkness. You know, it's not blessed to be ignorant. It alienates one from God. It is blindness of the heart. It causes one to give themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness, because you don't have any idea what's right and wrong, and you just aimlessly walk around doing what you want to do. In 2 Peter 3, he said, sometimes ignorance is deliberate. Sometimes there's just no desire. Sometimes it's like, well, if I just keep myself ignorant, I won't be accountable. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Well, that's just hard. Not going to work. In 2 Peter 3, 5 and 6, talking about how he had destroyed the world with a flood, and how he had said, I'm going to do it again. This they willingly forgot. I'm just going to remain ignorant about this. I just don't believe God's going to do that. I struggle with the fact that there was a flood in the first place, so you know what? I just don't believe that He'd ever do that again. God's too loving. That by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. Don't willingly be ignorant. Don't just think that if I don't learn that, I don't have to do that. Sometimes it's a lack of guidance. In 1 Timothy, we have a man who was a wonderful man. A man who was trying his best in his mind. Paul. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And he says, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a man who's very appreciative of the fact that he had been ignorant. He had not sought out what was right. He thought he had. His heart was good. His actions were sinful. Just because the heart's good does not make the actions right. And the actions weren't right here. Just because he was ignorant didn't make him right in God's sight. And he understood that he needed to get forgiveness of that. You see, it's one of the reasons for Jesus' crucifixion was ignorance. That's not a proud thing to say. In Acts 3, when he talked to them, he said he understood that some of those people now that were trying to change, he said, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did the rest of the rulers. In other words, you're just ignorant of what God had said about this. You didn't go back and look. You didn't see what the Bible said about this. You didn't understand what was going on. But you wanted him crucified, and you stood there with the rest of them and said, let him be crucified. Another thing that really hurts us is prejudice. Now, I'm not talking about the various types of prejudice we talk about today, but I'm talking about prejudice in our minds against God's will. That we already have things built up in our mind, that I know this is the way it is, thus I will not listen to anything else. One of the worst things in the world for any of us to do is pick up the Bible and not pick it up as if it's for the first time every time. That whatever we look at, don't look at it and say, I know what that says because I looked at it 10 years ago, so I'm not bothering today. Don't do that. That's the foolish. It's just prejudice in our minds, making up our mind before we look again. Look at it again. Look at it afresh and anew every time. Sometimes we just want to believe something. I just want that to be, I just need for that to be. And sometimes it's because of maybe things that's happened in our family or because of things that's happened in our life, but we just want to believe it. We know what God says. We can clearly read that, but it's like, no. Proverbs 19, he talks about this, and he talks about walking around, and he talks about knowledge, and it's interesting how he talks about this. He talks about being very careful with what we understand and so forth, but he says, also it is not good for a soul to be without knowledge. And I don't think he could be talking in general in Proverbs. It's just really good. But let's be more today in this lesson. Let's talk about the knowledge we get from God. And He sends who hastens with His feet. In other words, what happens here is if you don't understand and you don't know, the feet take you wherever they want to go. And that's going to get you in trouble. The foolishness of a man twists his ways and his heart frets against the Lord. You see, I really want to do this. Now I need to find a scripture that backs me up. That's a real good way not to study God's Word. Prejudice really hurts us. We will not seek instruction. If you look on down in verse 27, it says, cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. The day I quit, I don't care how much I think I might have learned, the day I quit studying God's will is the day I'll lose it. It's the day I will not be beneficial anymore in my life. I cannot live on my past. I cannot live on what I learned before. I need to keep learning. It'll be just like those who made and worshipped idols. He said, you folks are so foolish. You go about and you make these things because you need something to worship. You know you shouldn't be doing that. You know you have a God of heaven, but in their desire to do what they wanted to do, in their prejudice to do what they wanted to do, it says in 19, no one considers in his heart, nor is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I've burned half of it in the fire. You take a piece of wood, and part of it you make an idol out of, and part of it you burn for fire. He said, how foolish is that? Why do you think they were doing that? They wanted to believe it. They wanted to believe it was okay. They wanted to be like the people around them, and so they did it. And he said, how dumb is that? I've roasted meat and eaten it and shall make the rest of it an abomination. Shall I fall down before a block of wood? Are you going to worship the rest of it while it's burning? Are you going to prostrate yourself before the rest of it while it's burning? In 45 verse 20, assemble yourselves and come, draw near to me. You have escaped from the nations. They have no knowledge who carry the wood of their carved image and pray to a God that cannot save. it seems pretty clear and simple to me when I go back and I read about them, doesn't it to you? But how many times have we picked up God's Word and we wanted to say something, so it says it whether it says it or not? And Jeremiah later would talk to Judah, and he would say to them, you know, you got a major problem as well. Just like Isaiah had talked to all of them earlier, before the northern tribes had gone into captivity. He said, "For my people are foolish. They've not known me. They're silly children. They have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge." What's the problem? Well, it goes right back to what I said. They've already predetermined what they're going to do, and they're going to do it. And they really, really are acting like a bunch of children. It's like children that want to do what they want to do, and they're not going to listen to anything you have to say as a parent. "Him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, him is sin." I know that's in a context of maybe something a little bit different, but the principle stands in James 4:17. Or maybe we've been persuaded to believe something. Maybe we are like the Galatians. He said, "I'm amazed that you're so soon been bewitched, that you have allowed," and he said, "I just marvel at this," in 1:6-9, "that you have so soon turned away into another gospel." He said, "Why did you let them bewitch you? Why did you let those people come in? We told you what the Word of God said. Well, what happened to you?" Well, again, people had persuaded them somehow differently, and they wanted to listen to them. These supposedly wise people came in. 1 Kings 13, 1-24, there's a story told there about, you know, the young prophet who went to Rehoboam, and he causes problems for him. And then he withers his hand, and then he heals him, and then the king says, "Well, I'll tell you what, won't you stay and eat with me?" "Can't do it. Can't do it." He said, "When I was given these instructions to come and talk to you, I was told don't turn to the right or left, don't go in anywhere, don't eat anything, don't do anything, but go straight back after you've taken care of this." So he's headed back, and the sons of an old prophet told about this, and the old prophet came to him and said, "Well, won't you turn in and come in and eat with me?" And he said, "I can't do it. God says no." He said, "Oh, no, it's okay." He said, "It's okay. It'd be perfectly fine for you to come in and sit and eat with me." He did. He listened to him. And you know the rest of the story. He told him before he left, he said, "There'll be a lion. I'll meet you on the way. He's going to kill you because you disobeyed God. You listened to me, basically, and you didn't listen to God." We need to be careful. We're not following any person. We're following God. This is very serious, and the truth is, it's easy. It's easy, isn't it? Because I like Brother So-and-so. Well, Brother So-and-so said, or Sister So-and-so said. Or we have a bad example in Galatians 2 where Peter caused others to follow after him. He showed another type of partiality and prejudice. When the Jews would come around, he wouldn't eat with the Gentiles. Peter, good man. He's wrong. We don't follow people because we like them. We don't follow them because, oh, you know, look who he is. Why, he preached the first sermon. Yes. But he's a human being. He's not Jesus Christ. We follow Jesus Christ. Even Barnabas, who was a very good man, followed after him as well as many other Jews. And that gets us in trouble. 1 Timothy 4 says it's going to be easy because he said there's going to come these teachers and they're going to say to you, well, you know, they're going to forbid you to marry. They're going to tell you that you need to abstain from certain foods. They're going to tell you that certain things are wrong, certain things are right. That's not what God said, but they're going to tell you that, and people are going to be drawn away, basically seduced to do something that's wrong. Sounded good. Sounded very spiritual. What's wrong? In 2 Peter 2:2, he said there will be even those that will convince you about the Lord that are just totally wrong and you won't believe in it anymore. That's how serious this gets. It's really very easy for us to fall into these traps. And again, you know, brother or sister so-and-so said, and I'm not saying it's wrong. I mean, you know, I quote my dad, but my dad's not an authority. I'll tell you that up front. I think some of his sayings were very cute and they make a point, but they're not scriptural. They don't come from God's Word. They may follow the principles of God's Word, and that's okay. But I'm not doing it on the basis of that. I'm doing it on the basis of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If I can't give you Scripture, for what I believe and what I teach, I've told you before, stop me in my tracks. Where is that? In Proverbs 28, verse 10. Whoever causes the upright to go astray in an evil way, he himself will fall into his own pit, but the blameless will inherit good things. In my lifetime, I've seen some people who started out following God. They became well known, as we say, in the brotherhood. And over time, they fell away from the truth of God and drew people after them. And as a result, many people became very hard to teach them how to even study God's Word, let alone what they should be believing. Or maybe we just don't want to accept the Bible. Maybe I'm just one of those people that don't want to accept it. He talks about that in 1 Thessalonians 2, about those that will not. He told the Thessalonians there that you're going to have to be very careful about that. And 9 through 12, for remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day that we may not be a burden to any, we preach to you the gospel of God. You're witnesses in God also how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged each one of you as a father does his own children, that you would have a walk worthy of God who calls you in his own kingdom and glory. But sometimes, and I read that from, I did. See, here's what you do. See, you guys all listened to that and went, wow, that didn't sound right. You know why? It wasn't right, because that was 1 Thessalonians. And I need to read to you from 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 2. He talks about the coming of the one that is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And this reason God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all might be condemned who do not believe the truth but have pleasure in unrighteousness. It's very serious. And then the last one is really a very short one, because by the time I got to this point I was very tired. Laziness. Laziness. I could go through the whole Bible. There is so much talk about people who are spiritually lazy, and it involves their physical life. You might say, well, that's physical. No, it's spiritual. I don't care how you look at laziness. When it comes to knowledge of God's truth, just no attempt. No attempt to learn. He talks about that in Hebrews 5, and I might quote this frequently. But he says in verse 11, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For when, for the time, you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the gospel of Christ. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. He's a babe, but solid food belongs to those who by full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You're just too lazy, he said, to want to know. Just too much work to try to figure out what God wants you to do. Why would you want to take up the time to spend a book that, as some people say, is so boring? I just don't get it. It's too hard. I don't understand how it's written. I can't figure it out. So if you start out that way, I guarantee you, that's the way you'll end up. Christ was said a little different in Matthew 13, 14 and 15. He said they were dull of heart. They were just basically a bunch of lazy people who had made no attempt, just like he said Isaiah talked about them. They didn't really care what it had to say, so they made no effort. So basically, I speak to them in parables because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Whose fault was it? Jesus is teaching such clear, plain passages. Try that again. Plain passages. Clear stories, plain stories that made the point. And he said about it, Isaiah had said that, for in verse 15, for the heart of this people has grown dull. They're a bunch of just dullards, lazy, sitting around, don't want to hear it anymore. In 2 Peter 3, verse 16, when he talked about Paul, now he's been discussing some things that they had refused to understand, things they didn't want to hear, things that they were staying away from. He said that, just like our brother Paul, he had written some things that were hard to be understood, okay, which means you're going to have to spend a lot more time on them. And he said, what do they do with those? Well, instead of spending some time on them, here's what they do. Which those who are untaught and unstable twist, as they also do the rest of the Scriptures, to their own destruction. It's basically this idea of twisting is they just have to contort it. You know, they take that Scripture and they just go, I know it needs to mean this, so let me try to get that over there where it... That's what they're trying to do with the Scriptures, rather than just saying, this is exactly what it says, so you know what? That's what it means. And we're back to Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Being lazy and indifferent and not wanting to know God's will get us in a place we don't want to be. It'll keep us in a place where we don't want to be. And it'll cause problems for us that we never dreamed we could have. You see, our judgment is based on our knowledge. In Revelation 20, verse 12, that when I am judged, it'll be according to what I'm supposed to know. And the books will be open. And we'll be judged according to the things He said written in those books. I'll be judged according to this new law. Israel will be judged according to their law. Gentiles will be judged according to the law God gave them. It's going to be fair. But it'll be according to things that are written. We got to know God's Word if we expect to be saved. We can't do it on the basis of someone else. You see, salvation, according to Romans 10:17, comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. So that's what I need to be looking at. What does the Word of God say? It's got to be a faith that obeys. That's what He says in Hebrews 6. He said that He was so thankful for them, if you will. Sorry to say proud, I guess you could say that. When He says that there was a time they had not been right, but God be thanked that though you were servants of sin, or slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. What form of doctrine? Well, we could certainly look at 1 Corinthians 15 and we could see that form, which was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was given in the top part of chapter 6. And what we find, it's a likeness of that form of His death, burial, and resurrection. We, being dead, are buried in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. The question is, have you obeyed that today? We're going to stand and sing a song to make it very easy for anyone who would like to be obedient to the gospel of Christ. If you have a need to be immersed in water for the remission of your sins, and you truly believe that Jesus Christ was Son of God, we would be very happy to help you with that. Or if you have any other needs, as a Christian, maybe you've fallen away and you would love the prayers of the saints for your situation. Or if you have any other needs other than that, we would certainly be happy to help you in any way we can. Would you please stand?